Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gin Lounge podcast from Game Industry News. My name is Neo. I got Vinny here with us. And today we wanted to talk with everyone about games we are excited for in 2021. How are you today, Vince?
I can't complain too badly. Though I do want to make sure that we let everyone know this is just games we're hopeful for 2021. So it's just a brief list of things we're hoping will be good. But since trailers aren't, you know, representative of the final product, just take these less as endorsements and more of just what we're personally looking forward to this year outside of finally being able to go outside, maybe.
Yeah, and for those who are unfamiliar with Yahtzee Croshaw and Zero Punctuation, one of his go-to phrases have been a pre-rendered trailer is about as informative to the game as it is teaching me freshwater fly fishing.
That's so, pretty much true.
Like,
but we're going to engage with the rampant hype train of capitalism anyway.
Yeah, and it, besides, like, everyone wants to talk games. So I guess, Vince, let's start with you. What is a game you're looking forward to in 2021?
Oh, you already know. So
let me guess, is it Monster Hunter?
It absolutely is. It is Monster Hunter Rise. I actually am doing this podcast on the night that the demo drops. And I just found out that apparently the demo has released, but the eShop is getting slammed, so no one can really download it too well yet. But pretty much if anyone knows me, they know that I am a huge fan of the idiosyncratic flex on these scrubs after drinking a potion series that is Monster Hunter. Like, I've played every single game that's come out since Freedom Unite, including the ones that have only been in Japan. And each entry racks up hundreds of hours, so I wind up hitting like a really high hunter rank every game. And I even adopted a bluish-gray cat with a big bushy tail, and I named him Toby, after Toby Kodachi, all right? I love this series, I know every weapon inside and out, and across multiple generations. And I even know the weaknesses of every returning monster and their idiosyncrasies, like how certain traps only work on one monster when they're enraged, and that same trap only works on another monster when they're not enraged, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm a little bit excited for Monster Hunter Rise, because it looks like they're shaking up the formula substantially. They're going to be introducing verticality, a new system of skills that you can use on cooldown that work on like a per weapon basis. I don't know too much about how that functions yet because I haven't gotten to play the demo yet. But I think when it comes down to it, this yokai-focused Monster Hunter game will be like my number one most wanted to play this year. And the only thing that's been revealed so far that I don't like is this monster called Yahtzee Kodachi, I think is how it's... That's at least how the syllables string together. I'm not sure that's how it's pronounced. But it's this long-necked spider monster that births spiderlings to bother you. And not a huge fan of that. This thing is basically the fuel of my nightmares. It is my sleep paralysis demon. And I'm not huge on that, but everything else looks wonderful. In fact, I'm hoping to try and convince Neil to play it and carry him through high rank.
So, carrying along this logic of how much you love Monster Hunter, I'm sure you're really excited about the movie with your favorite director on it.
I still have not watched that movie. I'm holding off for a rainy day when I feel like I want to have a large amount of pain injected directly into my eyes. I don't really mind Mila Jovovich in things like Fifth Element, but that movie sure does look like something. I'm going to wind up watching it before our next podcast. I know it.
I wish I was there. I'd bring some alcohol and we can just kind of mystery space science theater the whole thing.
And I'm sure we'd get it as well as you got the name.
Yeah.
Mystery science theater.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So for me, this franchise loves to let me down whenever I get excited, but I'm honestly looking forward to Resident Evil Village. The announcement trailer looked really interesting. The screenshots, everything looks really well done with lighting, with tone. I feel like this one might be either one of the best in the series or RE5 or 6 all over again. And I really want Capcom to make these games really good. And I from what I've seen, everything looks good, including the fact that it looks like Chris Redfield stopped taking the steroids that he was on. So
he's probably still punching boulders.
Probably. So I don't know. Like, it's a weird place to be because, like, the gamer in me is like, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to enjoy this. This is going to make a next-gen console worth it. But then the game journalist in me is like, this is probably going to be more rehashed garbage that no one's going to like, myself included. So for anyone wanting to be a games journalist, you do become very cynical very, very quick.
And I'm sure it'll have at least something that you'll be interested in because, well, maybe not. I don't know.
Of course, we do need to mention Far Cry 6. That made my list at Game Industry News for my column on my top five that I'm excited for. Now, part of it's just nostalgia because I've been playing Far Cry since Instinct's Predator and I've loved the series. I am excited that they have Giancarlo Esposito in there as a character. For those who are unaware, he is Moff Gideon in The Mandalorian. He always brings in good performances, but I'm just worried that it's going to be the Ubisoft sandbox for There Is Only One. And of course, Far Cry is, as being the progenitor, it makes sense that it's the sandbox, but Ubisoft has done this with Assassin's Creed. They've done it with Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon, which used to be a tactical shooter. So I'm just worried that they're going to waste a good actor and an opportunity to really revolutionize the content just to play it safe. And I really hope they don't do that.
It'd be really nice if you actually got a good surprise in 2021.
Yeah. What other games are you looking forward to?
Well, most of everything that I'm looking forward to for this next year is actually an RPG or a JRPG. Like this month we're having Atelier Ryza 2 or Atelier Ryza. I'm not actually sure how they pronounce the first word in their own title, but it's a kind of cute, bubbly crafting RPG. The Atelier games were kind of going downhill for a little while. They were interesting, but I had a lot of difficulty pushing my way through to the end because once you hit like the peak of the alchemy system, which is how you craft every single item in the game, there's not really a lot to do after that because it's either you just keep going until you make the most broken things and then walk over everything until you meet the super bosses at the end, or you don't do that and you never beat the super bosses. That's pretty much how it goes. But Ryza significantly changed up the formula. So now they have a combat system that incorporates action commands. It's fun to play. And because of those timing elements, it balances out this tactic gauge that they have where you can fire out multiple hits in one turn or use bigger spells during longer encounters. So I'm hoping that Ryza 2 carries a lot of that forward into its next iteration. And it's actually not too much longer before it comes out. I think it comes out the end of this month.
You know, hearing you talk about games like that, you know what actually kind of makes me like to see another iteration of?
Legend of the Dragoon?
Actually, I was going to say Agorist War, but yes.
Ooh, I played... Well, okay, I own all of the Agorist War games on Steam. I played the first one on the Xbox 360.
Agorist War Zero?
Okay, not the first one chronologically. I played the Agorist War 1.
Oh, okay. I played Zero.
Because I think it was like 1, then 2, then 0. That's all I really recall of that particular series. It was an interesting concept of mixing Disgaea levels of tactical RPG with waifus. I guess when you really lay it out, it's pretty simple, huh? Let's take a thing people enjoy and mix waifus into it.
Yeah. That is the JRPG way.
That is true, actually.
I don't know why. Most of the games that caught my eye were kind of more in the action category. Like one, and I hate this title. I want every listener to know in advance, I hate this soup kitchen of nouns that is this title. It's Werewolf the Apocalypse Earthblood. Why we couldn't just call it Werewolf the Apocalypse, I don't know. Why we couldn't just call it Werewolf, I don't know. Why couldn't we just call it Earthblood, I don't know. But no, we had to put all of them on there. Apparently, overstocked writing room and everyone got paid by the letter. So your guy's part of an eco-terrorist group going against a company that's destroying the environment. And you have a human form, a wolf form, and then a werewolf form, and multiple combat stances that you can use. It looks like it could be really interesting to play, but it also looks like it could be one of those garbage games that you beat in 10 hours and it goes straight into the $2.99 or less bin in a month or two. But if for anyone interested, I definitely recommend the trailers. They have a couple gameplay trailers out where like the developers go through some of the gameplay features. So like I said, like most of my top five, I'm on the fence of it's either going to be really good or really disappointing.
Well, that actually balances things out because all of mine are in the RPG spectrum and a good number of them are from storied series. So I guess listeners will get the best of both worlds.
Here's hoping. Any other JRPGs you got an eye on?
Well, there's another one that, so you had a soup kitchen of nouns. This is just sounds. It's East 9 Monstrum Nox. I think it comes out in February.
Bless you.
Exactly, right? So the East series is actually a really, really old series. They have typically very good music. A lot of the latest ones use a lot of like hard-hitting guitar riffs when you're in areas where you can be fighting enemies. Really impressive soundtrack on East 8, especially. But let's see here. East 1 and 2 were on really old systems. They use this like bump system where you kind of just run into enemies until they die and try to hit them on their edges so that way they don't kill you too. So they were extremely challenging just because of how limited the systems were. Then they came out with ones on the PS2. I don't know if they came out with any on like the PS3 or not, but I've most of my favorites in that series are from around the same era of like Othin, Fel'Ghana, East Origin. Those are all available on Steam. And then East 8 was just from a year or two ago. And it has the same fast-paced combat, other characters to play as, everyone has their own skills and play styles. And it was a little bit groundbreaking for the series, the 8th one was, just because it had a character other than the protagonist to have amnesia. So I'm kind of excited to see where the series goes next because they put out a little bit of information. The new artwork stylings are especially interesting. So I kind of want to see what comes out of that. Because when it comes to action RPGs, the Tales of series, the East series, are typically among the best you can get.
Yeah, I remember we bonded over, what was it, Tales of Graces F?
Yeah. I believe you wound up sending me your copy after you did the review on it.
Yeah, because I was at my dad's house and ended up using his PlayStation. At that time, the last PlayStation I owned was a PS1. And speaking of PlayStations, honestly, Horizon Forbidden West has been on my radar for a little bit. Now, granted, pre-rendered trailer, freshwater fishing instruction manual notwithstanding. The graphics look amazing. The story is intriguing. I still need to go play the first one. And now that I bought my wife a PlayStation 4, I get a chance to go play it. But it looks really interesting where they're taking the story and how they've kind of incorporated everything. I like it the way they're making this dystopic sci-fi future rather than Planet of the Apes. Although, not going to lie, I really would like to see her drop to her knees on the beach and scream, "You blew it up!"
Robot dinosaurs is quite possibly one of the best ideas people have had. And I'm glad to see that we have a game seriously attempt that in a post-apocalyptic setting that wasn't from, like, the mid-90s.
Yeah,
it was a pretty good game overall.
Normally, if someone was to say, name something with robot dinosaurs, the first words out of my mouth are probably going to be Power Rangers.
Right, exactly. And then they all lock together, and then they whoop Aloy's ass.
So what else are you looking at?
Well, let's see. There's two other games that I'm looking forward to. Most of them are front-loaded toward the beginning of the year, because I think Ryza 2 was January, East 9 I think is coming out next month, and I believe Bravely Default 2 is also coming out next month, and that's another one that I'm interested in checking out.
I still need to get through Bravely second.
Which, that's a pretty solid one, too. Like, each Bravely game has been a relatively well-balanced RPG experience, because they have all of these classes that you can utilize. A lot of times you can just use what you want in order to overcome challenges, at least until you get to, like, major stuff at the end. And then sometimes you just want to throw in the pirate class and hit four times for 9,999 damage. It's whatever, right? Like, the first Bravely Default, they had... The story was pretty simple, and you went through until you hit about Chapter 5, and that's kind of when the game went downhill for most people. Like, you either come out the other side of that loving the game and appreciating what it did, or you absolutely hate it. I and my wife came out on the other side enjoying it, because both of us played it and got to the end, and we're like, okay, that was pretty cool. I was mildly amused by that. Second was a well-balanced package in comparison to the first. So when it comes to Bravely Default 2, I'm hoping that they do like a great combination of both of those games and incorporate some of the other things that they've learned while making all of these different Bravely Default games to make, you know, the best one that they've come out with so far. I don't have anything to base that off of, just so far the demo that I've played was great. There's new classes you can mess around with and acquire different skills from. It looks pretty good so far, and I guess they've also been great about taking player feedback into account, which is always a good sign. I guess that'd be my fourth game that I'm interested in. What about you, Neil?
Last one I have on my list is actually Outriders. So I honestly don't know how I feel about this game, because it looks like it's going to be really interesting. It's another sci-fi game. It's looks like a lot of like gunslingers. It looks like it could be really good. The only thing I'm concerned about is it's going to be like Destiny, but, or like Borderlands, but, and it's not to say that either of those titles are bad, but I'm sure you would agree with me that Borderlands and Destiny, well, have you played Destiny at all?
I played Destiny 2 for a good amount of time. I actually wound up dropping it after the second big DLC pack came out. I think it was like the Warmind expansion. I don't know. I didn't find the expansion to be that great or alluring. And when they finally had their big overhaul, I found out about it months and months later and determined that I would be so far behind, there'd be no point in going back.
Yeah, I personally have more experience with Borderlands. And the way I feel about it is Borderlands is at its best when you're playing it with friends.
Correct.
And I don't have the social group that I can reliably have long campaigns and missions with friends for games.
You heard
like
it here first, everybody. Neil does not have friends.
I do not have friends. Not even you. The only reason you're here is because we glued your feet to the floor.
I don't even know how you guys would do that when I'm in my own house now.
Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to.
I mean, if you're worried about Outriders being like a purely co-op experience, I guess that could be something we both try out at the same time and see. But I don't know if it would get boring with just two of us versus a full squad or whatever.
Yeah. Now, one thing I did like was on the trailer, they said that they have like the hub world, but there are a lot of side locations that you won't find unless you actually go exploring. And that made me think back to The Last Remnant, because The Last Remnant, a lot, you only see about 25-30% of your locations if you just followed the story. But if you went out and explored, you unlocked many other locations that give you access to new materials, new weapons, new people, and the game didn't shoehorn it so that you had to go find these people or else you couldn't move on. Like, if you just didn't explore, it wouldn't tell you these existed. So it's kind of nice that there is a game still focusing on, hey, go explore. We're not just going to hand you everything.
Yeah, that is actually really neat. I had no idea that you played The Last Remnant. So yeah. If I'm recalling the correct game, it's the one where you had entire squads of people fighting at once. And like the more you actually leveled up, the harder the game would get, right?
Yes. You and I actually swapped stories about the bugs we had, because yours, I think, crashed and corrupted a save. Mine, for some reason, glitched and had like all these dark lines over my screen.
So I remember now. I do remember that. Mine wasn't quite that. It was that a certain story dialogue event required that the dialogue box would go away and I'd be stuck in like the cinema mode of being, of talking to this NPC, but you actually needed to talk with them to advance the story. So I just quit playing then and there after having spent like 60 or so hours into the game.
If you are interested, because I actually just picked it up, you can actually get that game remastered on PS4 and Switch.
I had no idea that it was on Switch.
I picked it up for PS4 because I had, well, one, my wife wants to play it, and my Switch is only, I have a regular Switch, so if she wants to play it docked, then she'll have to take my Switch. But also, I just thought about how bad it was on 360 and how much was on the game, and I thought it'd melt my Switch into slag, so I got it on PS4. And it's
That's probably fair.
It's $20 too, so definitely worth getting into. I have actually already put in another 35, 40 hours into it.
Oh, wow. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, I didn't sleep a lot. So back on topic. Gamers going to game. What's your last game on your list, or do you have another one?
Well, you mentioned us bonding over Tales of Graces F, and actually the last one that I can think of off the top of my head that I'm looking forward to hopefully this year is Tales of Arise, which it was supposed to come out in 2020, but it kind of got pushed back to 2021. If anyone has played like the Tales of games for any length of time, you'd know that for the last, I mean, it's been a good chunk of years, probably since the late PS2, early PS3 era, all the way up till now, they've kind of engaged in the exact same environment, combat, so on so forth. Or if they've tried to stray away from the norm in terms of combat, like Tales of Zestiria, it's been worse rather than having gotten better. But Tales of Arise is a giant departure from the norm. Like, the environments look gargantuan and kind of filled with things to mess around with in them, which most of the Tales games lately have been just kind of barren areas with maybe one sparkly object to go pick up in a corner or something. They look like they're changing up the combat a lot. The graphics are finally stepping up to, I would say, current gen, but it's probably going to be meeting like PS4 standards currently, because even Tales of Berseria, which came out just a few years ago, I think 2016 is when it released, even it was pretty PS3 looking in terms of graphics. What I'm most excited for is that they're taking a lot of time to produce this title. I know that the whole coronavirus epidemic has caused a lot of difficulties with games development, so I don't know how much of this would be out of the norm. But they were pretty consistently popping a Tales game out every 1 to 2 years in the U.S. since 2012. And Arise is coming about 4 years after Berseria, at least. So I think that's probably a sign that they're putting extra TLC into it. And I loved Berseria when it came out. Like, I gave that game glowing reviews. I loved a lot of the elements that it had in the story. Some people didn't like the main protagonist. I thought it was kind of refreshing. I enjoyed the combat. But it still had those flaws of large, empty environments and visuals that didn't look like they improved much over their PS3 generation. So while trailers can be misleading, I'm very much looking forward to talking more about that game in the future, because I've been keeping a thumb on this one for a while. And if I haven't already begged somebody to do the review for it, I'm definitely going to after this podcast, while I'm downloading the Monster Hunter Rise demo.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm pretty sure that the only people who would have first dibs on it are not going to take it. So I would take a bet that it's yours.
Heck yeah.
So for those who are unaware, we at Game Industry News are trying to get caught up on the times. We're working with our website to get it more optimized mobily. We have this podcast going now, but we are also working on getting a Twitch stream together. So our hope is in the future that Vincent, myself, or some of the other contributors at Game Industry News will be able to stream themselves live playing games like the ones we have mentioned in this podcast, or even just retro ones like The Last Remnant. So we would love to hear people's feedback on that. And as we get these streaming platform, these streaming services together, get all the changes made that we need to get made, we will definitely keep everyone posted, because we would love to have feedback from our readers and have you guys share us with your friends, just because that helps us, you know, us gamers got to stick together and have a good community. And what best way to bond than over video games? And usually in Vinny's case, laughing about how bad I am at video games.
Listen, all I'm saying is that if you wind up doing something with The Last Remnant on the Twitch stream, it's got to be a true Conqueror run. So you got to do all the side quests and fight the hardest secret boss. That's all I'm saying. You got to do that.
I have been going so far like into the weeds, and I have one boss who keeps one-shotting me, so now I'm trying to figure out how to kick his ass.
I honestly wouldn't. It's been so long since I played that, I wouldn't be able to give any particular advice. All I remember is that I came into a situation around like 30 to 40% of the way through the game where all of the enemies were just way too powerful. And it's because your level can grow out of sync with the actual capabilities of your squad. And I don't remember how to lower it, or even if you can. But whatever your overall score is for your troops, you need to Google that and find the guide on how to not let that get out of control so all of the enemies are superpowered.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Well, two of my squads are fine, but like I don't like the way they upgrade part like your squads. So instead of having two full squads, now I have like one full, one kind of full, and one half squad, and it's just... Anyways, not a Last Remnant podcast, but it gets
That's
you
true.
Talking.
We would get a whole 1.5 listeners, and I'm not sure what happened to the half guy.
So, for everyone listening, thank you so much. We will have our next podcast out in a couple of weeks. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us on the Gen site in terms of things you'd like us to talk about. I will hopefully have a Gen Lounge email to give you next podcast. That way you can directly contact Vincent or myself and talk about anything that you would like. Vince, do you have anything you'd like to say to the listeners?
Nothing in particular. Just stay healthy, stay safe. And don't do anything dumb.
Don't sweat the petty things and don't pet the sweaty things. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next podcast. And I guess peace out.